I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy again tonight. We'll continue with some other thoughts from the same letter that we studied from this morning. As we know as Christians, the group here study the Bible from front to back and in between, and many different subjects and many different people that are talked about in the Bible. All are important studies that we need to be engaged in from time to time. Sometimes it doesn't hurt to go back and look at certain letters and or all the different letters and books and consider the writer and the things that was in the content of those books, the things that were written to people aforetime, as we talked about this morning, Romans 15 and verse 4, the things that were written for the children of Israel, were written for our learning. Their examples of sin are examples set before us that we should not sin as they did. And the fact that God required obedience to them rolls over into the gospel of Christ, and that He requires obedience for us also. We live under the gospel, the good news of Christ, the system of faith. They also were a people who had believed God. Abraham and others are mentioned as those being people of faith. But God gave to those people, Abraham's seed, a law. And He expected them to learn that law and to apply the principles of it to themselves and to their families so that they could be unique. They could be different from the sinful nations around them. They wouldn't be like the people of the nations they went in and to take their land, that they would not let those people influence them with false teachers or false prophets or idolatry or to mix with their foreign families and take foreign wives. So God had many strict rules for those folks. Tonight, let's go back and look at a few more thoughts that we didn't get to this morning from the book of Deuteronomy. And just a little review. We talked about some of this a few years ago here at Beulah. Some of the books of the Old Testament, we covered several of them, but we'll go back and look at it in just a little bit different perspective. Of course, it is listed in the Bible. It falls in the number of book number 5, the fifth book of the Old Testament. The Bible, of course, is one big book made up of several small books. And so we understand that the Old consists of the number there and the 27 in the New Testament. And so when you look at the total number of books, every book is important because it is a part of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is just that. It is God-breathed. It is inspired of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul declared concerning the Scriptures, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration. That is, God-breathed, God spoke. Is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Of course, Paul was speaking to the young preacher Timothy when he made that statement, but the fact is that the Word of God is just that for everyone, that it is from God. God sent His Word in the days of old. The book of Hebrews, we learn that He spoke to us in times past by the prophets. And today He has spoken to us through whom? Through His Son. And so every study in the Bible is important. So studying a few things tonight from the fifth book of the Old Testament, it's the last book of what is known as the Pentateuch or the books of the law. You know, sometimes we used to sing with the little children, you know, let us sing the books of Moses. You know, 1 Genesis, 2 Exodus, and Leviticus, then they go right on through and sing those songs. And then we talk about all the other books of the Old Testament. So the books of the law. So it is part of the books of the law of Moses concerning the things that God dealt with from the beginning of time through the life of Moses and the children of Israel, the giving of the law, and even Joshua and those early people that were God's people, the Israelites. According to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, if we read those verses, it would indicate to us that Moses is the author of this book. Not only the first 6 verses in chapter 1 indicate that, but you can go over to chapter 4, verses 44 through 46, then chapter 29 in verse 1, 31 in verse 9, and then chapter 31, verses 24 through 26. Indicates that Moses is the writer. He received these words from God. He spoke to the children of Israel. He told them all these things. He gave them these warnings. Now, the last chapter records the death of Moses. And, of course, We know that many times throughout the Bible that a book, whenever there was someone that was writing and their life ended, there would be someone else that would write the end of the story. And so it is in this case, in that last chapter, records Moses' death, and it was included by God's inspiration, God's plan. So this obituary of Moses was attached, being written by someone else, and identifying Moses then as a great man, a man who was a leader of the children of Israel, a prophet who God chose to lead those people. God chose Moses then as their leader, specifically to bring them out of Egyptian bondage. And he was also then, Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you look there, Deuteronomy chapter 18, we'll look at a couple of verses. He was not only their leader, but he's referred to as then as a prophet. Chapter 18 and verse 15 tells us that the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. And then look at verse 18. Says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. So Moses was the leader of the children of Israel that brought them out of Egyptian bondage. When Jacob and his sons went down into Egypt, when Joseph was there and had came up under Pharaoh and was over the authority of storing all the grain after the 7 years of famine, and before that time came, they stored up everything, and Jacob and his sons came down to Egypt. You know that after all that happened, and you know that group died off, that there arose up another Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and so Moses was born there in the land of Egypt, and so he was of the lineage of the seed, and so his mother then took care of him as he grew up in the house of Pharaoh, and he was taught about his family, and Moses then became the leader of the children of Israel and brought them up, went back into Egypt, been there 40 years, left for 40 years, came back, and led the people out, and as God instructed them to do. So Moses is talking to these people by the inspiration of God. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 1 again, we see that Moses begins his discourse to these people. We talked about this morning his emphasizing the fact that obedience to God is absolutely essential. Well, in this discourse we find that Moses reviews the importance of the law of God, the importance of the rules that God had given, and lets them know that certainly there is a requirement that they would be obedient to God. And so this law that was given, Moses reviews this with them and says, this is what you must do. You must hear the words of the Lord and listen to His word and obey it. And so Moses took those laws, he talked about them, he expanded upon them, he explained to them, this is what God had said, this is what God requires, this is where we are now, this is what you must do if you're going to receive these blessings from God, this is what God requires of you as the children of Israel and of me, Moses said, requires of us. And so there's a new generation of Israelites there that had grown up in the wilderness. And so Moses is saying, here it is now. I'm going to reiterate to you what God has done for the children of Israel through Moses. And this is the requirement he has for us. And that is that we're obedient to him. And so Moses took the law. He talked to the children of Israel about it here in the book of Deuteronomy. And he applied these laws with reference to the Israelites' future life in Canaan. If you'll obey the Lord, if you'll keep His law, if you do His will, if you love His word, if you'll fear Him and keep His word in your heart and teach it to His children, this is what's going to happen. This is where you're going to end up, and this is what you must do. Be obedient to the law of Moses. Well, Deuteronomy then, let's go back and begin to look at some of the things concerning this book. The book reviews Israel's history in the wilderness, when they were there for wandering in the wilderness for those 40 years, and points forward to the future life of the promised land of Canaan. The wandering in the wilderness while all those older ones died off, then God's ready now. He's going to prepare these people as Moses gives this discourse. At the end of this, we're going to see what happens to Moses, and then someone's going to be put in charge to take these people into the land of Canaan that God had promised them. So it's important that we understand that when God gave His words to Moses, and he discoursed this to the people of Israel. It was important to them. Jesus even referred back to and quoted some from this book when in Matthew chapter 4, when he was taken up by the devil, and the devil tempted him. He even quoted some things during the temptation of the wilderness from this book, from the book of Deuteronomy. And so there's important things in this book that we need to look at. So the letter, the book of Deuteronomy in the original Greek means second law or repetition of the law. The law had been given. The older Israelites had received it. They had been told the law of Moses, what it was, the 12, the 10 commandments and the everything that expanded into it. Now this next generation, they are receiving this law. It's being repeated by Moses, going over, reiterating. Jan referred to last week about second and third and fourth generation Christians, and how that sometimes after that second generation, going to the third generation, sometimes the fourth, that perhaps you may find indications where that descendant of that family that's been brought up sometimes are not as strong as maybe that first group was. For some reason, the Word of God doesn't mean as much to them as it should. And so here's this generation that Moses is speaking to now and emphasizing that this is God's law. This is what God did for your fathers. And this is what God is going to do for you. And this is what He will do to you if you do not obey Him. So generation after generation, the law is to be given to these people. They're to obey it. Just like the gospel, generation after generation now is to be taught, because through it is salvation. Through it we come to God. We're called by the gospel. So, reiterating, reviewing, repeating ourselves, studying the Word of God. We learn by repetition, studying it over and over, and learning things and applying them and putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. So, when we go to the book of Deuteronomy, the main body has three messages delivered by Moses in the plain of Moab in the wilderness. Now, we're going to look at every part of these messages, time would not allow. But in the 20 or 30 minutes we're going to talk tonight, we're going to look at basically what these three messages are on an overall view from the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go to chapters 1 through 4, and we're going to see that certainly in these chapters, Moses recapped and gave a history lesson of all the main events of the previous 40 years. Now, why was he doing that? Well, God told him to speak to these people and give them these instructions, but he is reviewing these things and bringing these younger Israelites up to speed on God and who He is and what He's done and His law and the importance of obeying it, and about their fathers and what He did for them and what they did in regard to God. So it's a recap. It's a history lesson. And we need that. My parents taught me. I ought to teach my children. My children ought to teach their grandchildren. Every generation in the church needs to be taught and retaught and taught over and over. You know, we study over and over, learning the New Testament, learning the Old Testaments, learning the prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, the divisions of the Bible. You know, everything that's laid out for us to learn and know, it's important that every generation knows that. That every generation understands how the Bible is compiled and what's in it and what it means and about the writers and who it's written to. And so Moses is recapping now a history lesson for these people in chapter 1 through 4 about those main events of the previous 40 years. Now, and also then in chapter 4 verses 41 through 49, there's an assignment of the cities of refuge. If you go there and look at verse 41 of chapter 4, he says, "Then Moses set apart three cities on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer might flee there, who kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hated him in time past, and that by fleeing to one of these cities he might live. Bezer in the wilderness on the plateau for the Reubenites, Ramoth and Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan and Bashan for the Manassites." So you see then that certainly in these chapters there's a history lesson. There's what's going to happen in setting up of the cities of refuge for these people. And you talk about the cities of refuge, you're talking about people who did something that so someone wouldn't come back and kill them because they did something unintentionally, not meaning to do it. And so there was a city of refuge they could go to. and have an opportunity then to reason things through. And then chapters 5 through 26, we see that there's a review of the law, and that's a long review. We talked about several of those this morning, you know, beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Thou shalt not add to the things that I have written to you, neither shall you diminish aught from the things that I have written to you. And so the law, this is what the law is. And so the law is here. Don't change it. And the appeal to understand where that law comes from, it comes from God. And Moses appealed then to love God and love His Word and respect God and respect His Word and to receive His Word with an open heart and to receive it into their mind and to learn it and to keep it and to share it and to do it. To observe all that you have been commanded to do. So Deuteronomy, if you want a lesson in obedience and the importance of obeying God, and the necessity of obeying God, and the warnings of what happens in the days of old to the Israelites if they don't obey God, then Deuteronomy is a good book to go to see that, yes, God is strict. But not only is He strict, but we see in this the grace and mercy of God in that what He had done for the children of Israel, and as Moses reiterated to this young generation, look what God has done for you. Look what God did for your fathers in bringing them out of Egyptian bondage. Look what God did for you, and look what God does for you, and look what He will do for you. So Moses is giving them a history lesson. He's review of the law and a constant appeal to the love of God as the great motive for them to obey God, because God loved them. He loved them and helped them. And in their troubles and their trials and their rebellion, their stubbornness, He still was a God of love, that when they would turn to Him, He would accept them on His own terms. And so the book then is one that's laid out for these new generation of Israelites to say, here's God, here's His Word, here's what He's done, here's what we need to do, and here if someone does something by unintentionally and in a situation where they've killed someone but didn't mean to do it, there's the cities of refuge. So God had a plan for these children of Israel that they would follow and live by. Then chapters 27 through 30, before we get to 27 through 30, we look back to the biggest part of that, chapter 5 through 26, review of the law and a constant appeal to the love of God as the great motive to obedience. Remember and do. Remember and do. Love God and obey His Word. And then, 27 through 30 is a long list of what would happen if Israel obeyed God, or what's going to happen to you if you don't obey God. And really, the Bible is a long list of that from the beginning of time all the way through, isn't it? Remember when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, and He created the man, He made the woman, and gave her to him to be a helpmeet for him, and He put them in there and said, Of the fruit of every tree in the garden, you can eat. Except for of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat, because in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So God gave some, you can do this, and He gave a, you can't do this. But if you do that, what I'm telling you, you can't do it, and you do it, then this is what's going to happen. And when they ate it, what did they do? They were put away from God. They were put away from the tree of life. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And so Moses is telling these Israelites, here's God. This is what He says He requires of us. This is what you've got to do. And this is your attitude. Receive it. Remember it. Keep it. Obey it. But if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen. So throughout the New Testament then, There's everything we see that in the Gospels and in the letters to the churches and what we're studying in the seven churches of Asia on Sunday morning that Jan's talking about. There's the things, if you do what is good, then that's what expected, and if that's good, you're doing what's right. But if you don't do the one thing or don't do that that's right and you fail to do it, then what you've done, you need to repent of this thy wickedness and get your love back in the right place and turn to God. Or if you go beyond and accept something that's not right, then you need to repent, or else I'll come quickly and remove your lampstand, He said. So God has required what man needs to do, and if you don't do it, what's going to happen? circumstances, the situation that comes up when people disobey God. So chapters 27 through 30, a long list of what would happen if Israel obeyed God or if they did not obey God. So let's go to chapters 31 through 34 now and look at a few things concerning this letter. I know we're skipping around quite a bit because if we try to take it chapter by chapter and verse by verse, we'd be here for several Sunday nights. But in chapter 31, we see the approaching death of Moses. After Moses had given the discourse, after he had given them instructions, gave them a history lesson, told them what God required of them, told them to remember God's word and obey God's word, then we see that it's getting up now to the last days of Moses in chapter 31, the approaching death. He knows it's time for him to die. Chapter 31, beginning in verse 1. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. He goes on then and he tells them in verse 3, the Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did in Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites in their land when he destroyed them. And he goes through and he tells them what God will do for them because Moses says, my time is almost over. Then he says there concerning Joshua, the new leader of the children of Israel, that's going to take over when Moses dies. He said in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So Moses, speaking of the children of Israel, he's getting them ready for the transition from his leadership that had been going on all those years since they went to Pharaoh and talked to him and brought them out of Egyptian bondage, took them through the wilderness. And now this new generation, Joshua is going to lead you. And Joshua, this is what you need to do. You need to be strong. You need to take courage. And you need to be ready then to be the leader of the children of Israel. Verse 7 again of Deuteronomy chapter 31. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Now, when you think about the beginnings of the book of Deuteronomy and Moses looking back to what God had done for their fathers and then what God requires of them and the warning that you don't change this law, but you take it and you obey it and you teach it to the children, Moses is preparing this generation of Israelites to go under the leadership of Joshua to go forward and obey God. Obey God. The necessity of obeying God. And he's telling Joshua then, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. Remember now, Moses had reiterated what God had done for him up to that time. Now, the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. And so Moses is going to continue on and give some other instructions concerning the reading of the law and other things. But he gives this charge then to Joshua as Joshua is going to be his successor. Let's go down to verse 23 of Joshua chapter 31. Then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. So, prior to that, there were some things that Moses had told the children of Israel and Joshua about what was going to transpire, what was going to take place. And now again, Moses says, I'm going to die. Joshua's going to take my place. He's going to be my successor. He's going to be your leader. And he's going to lead you into this land. Joshua, the Lord will be with you. He'll take care of you. He'll carry you into that land. He'll run those people out of the lands for you. And the land will be given to the children of Israel as he's promised but you're going to be the leader for them. So then in chapter 31, verses 24 through 26, we see that there's a commitment to obey the law and listen to what the law says, obey the law, and directions given then to the Levites to preserve it. Look at chapter 31, verses 24 through 26. So it was when Moses, verse 24, so it was when Moses had completed writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. And so he goes on and says in verse 27, for I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death? And he tells him, said, gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing, and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, and here it is again, Moses knows he's going to die, for I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. You remember this morning we talked about, he warned them that if a prophet comes and says this or does that, even if it comes to pass, if that prophet is not of God, don't believe what that prophet says. Turn away from that prophet. Don't accept what that prophet says. Well, he says, an evil will befall you in the latter days because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. So preserve the law. Keep the law. Don't let it get away. It needs to be there. And as we go through the history then, we've studied about the rebuilding of the wall. We studied about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. We studied about the carrying in the captivity and some going out and going back to rebuild the wall and the finding in the book. And they found the book and there was joy and they stood up and they read the book. And when they read the book, the whole congregation stood up. So this law that Moses is preserving that come from God, it's an important law. And it needs to be there so the children of Israel will have it to read and study and refer to lead them. Well, we go back to chapters 32 and 33 then, and we see there's two poems in this book. The Song of Moses and the Blessings of Moses. It's recorded in chapter 32 and 33. So far we're getting almost through the book of Deuteronomy, just an overview of what's there. The writer, the teachings, the warnings, the admonition, the encouragement to them to obey God and be faithful to Him. Then chapter 34 comes, the death of Moses. Chapter 34 and verse 1, then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea. And he goes on the next several verses and it shows where all he got to see the land that God had promised for the children of Israel. Although Moses was not going to get to set foot in that land, God took him on the mount so he could see the land that the children of Israel was going to go under the leadership of Joshua. God made the promise. The children of Israel are going. This next generation is going. Joshua's going to lead them, but Moses himself will not get to go. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. And then verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. What better words could be said of anyone than to say that the servant of the Lord died? Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now look at verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom from Moses and laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land, and by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. What is it? Since then there has not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Verse 10. Well, got a few more notes I want to go over very quickly concerning the book of Deuteronomy. Two key words in this book: remember and obey. As Moses spoke to the children of Israel, remember what God did for your fathers. Remember what God said. Remember what God required of you. Remember who God is. Remember who you are. Remember the words that God has given you and obey those words. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt observe the law. Thou shalt receive the law and accept it in your heart. Thou shalt teach this word to your children. Thou shalt observe to keep all the commandments that are in this law. And thou shalt not receive any false prophet. Thou shalt not add to or take from the books of the law of Moses. Thou shalt not do these things. So God is a God that's instructive. He clears things up for man. And all we need to do is just receive His instructions and obey them. Well, the Ten Commandments are reviewed in chapter 5, verses 7 through 22. We didn't get into those Ten Commandments this morning or tonight, but the Ten Commandments are reviewed. And then in chapter 6, 1 through 9, we're hitting some spots we didn't hit earlier. The importance of parents teaching the law to their children. We talked about that this morning, about receive the law in your heart, teach it to your children when you rise up in the morning, when you go through the day, and when you lay down at night. Teach the law to your children that they may know what God's will is. And then chapter 6, verses 13 through 17, serve only the true and the living God. Don't let a false prophet come in. Don't let other gods come before you. Serve God. Chapter 34 then tells us of God's last words with Moses on earth, as we read earlier, and shows that God does keep His promises. Moses, I want to show you the land wherein the people are going to go. This is the land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is the land that the people are going to inherit. I am keeping my word. Joshua's going to lead these people. Look at it, Moses. You're not going to get to set foot in it, but I'm keeping my promise. And He does keep His promise. Well, just a few thoughts tonight from this one book in the Old Testament, the fifth book of the Pentateuch. We can learn a lot of things from every part of the Bible. But there's a lot of things we can learn here also. There's a lot of other things we could learn if we had time to go into it. But just to overview, just to review, and just to emphasize that overall, remember who God is, remember His Word, remember who we are. Get into God's law, study His Word, observe to keep all that He commands. Don't let anybody outside influence us to do otherwise, but keep God's law, obey Him, fear God, and keep His commandments. This is very important to us. So we need to obey God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul talks about today is the day of salvation. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, we don't need to harden our hearts. We need to listen to the words of God. So for us today, we can study from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelation and learn many things that we need to know. And let's remember those things and sort out the things that we ought not to do and the things we ought to do, and make sure we're doing the things that God requires of us by faith. Because after all, God's going to keep His promise of heaven to those who serve Him, remain steadfast, and continue to do His will. Heaven will be our home. So let's be encouraged by the fact that God has given us His will and His way. He's given us His Word to study. So let's get in it. Let's study it. Let's learn it. Let's apply it to our own life and share it with others, because within the Word of God is the plan of salvation. The central theme of the Bible is the Son of God. These people was where God, Jesus, came from, the seed of these people that we're talking about right here tonight. And so Jesus is the Savior for the ones before and after Him. Let's obey the Word of God. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, you haven't been baptized into Christ, then we encourage you to obey what God requires to have your sins washed away. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and willing to confess that, repent of your sins and be baptized, you can leave this building a child of God, having your sins washed away. If you're here this evening and there's something in your life as a Christian that perhaps you need to change, maybe you haven't observed God's Word as you should, you haven't been faithful to it, and you need to correct it in a public way, if we can help you with that, please come while Bemer leads us in the invitation song.